This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free in terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
It's the do not scratch your eyes post-match phone-in on X or Twitter or whatever it's called these days.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Well, that was bloody tedious, wasn't it? If anybody's seen the game today, it finished 0-0, and it started 0 and decided to carry on that way. Pretty much nothing happened. Was hoping that a football game would break out, but no, not an awful lot. Obviously, if anybody wants to say anything, well done, congratulations. That'll create your imagination. That's a real top order to try to come up with something like that. But let's try and look at some positives. And by God, after that game, it's going to be difficult, isn't it? But that is a fourth game unbeaten under Tom Cleverley. It is a clean sheet. But at no point did those two teams really try to engage. It was a letdown from what Tom had mentioned earlier on in his press conferences this week, where he really was wanting to talk about what was needed.
The home form has been something that's concerned us this season. I know how important that is from the last promotion season we had. Unfortunately, that was in empty stadiums. So, yeah, I feel like it's been since the 18-19 season, they've really had a period of good home form to shout about in a full stadium. And I thought the Leeds atmosphere was fantastic. The performance matched it. And unfortunately, we couldn't hold on. A similar case at West Brom. So we'll be looking to put that right this weekend and reward these fans with a long overdue home win.
Well, that didn't come today, did it? But at no point did a game really break out. Probably the clearest chance fell to Ipswich. Tom was asked how he would go around improving it, and only you can decide whether or not today was there. I doubt it was the case, but what did Tom think about ways to improve?
Yeah, so continue with the performance level, and then it's those small details, those overcoming fatigue at the end of games to make sure we see it out. But I've been thoroughly pleased with how we've performed for an hour against Leeds and then second half against West Brom is really promising. I said I want to build an optimism and a belief that we can compete the top end. That is growing and I think it'll grow even more if those draws turn into wins.
Obviously today it hasn't happened. We know that's the case. He was hoping that something additional would come in. Were we just tired from the Easter break? Is it just basically close to the end of the season and it's done? And because it looked like two fairly disinterested teams to me, but you tell me, you be the judge. He was also asked, this was a couple of days ago, what he thought about the change to the back three. And it'd be really interesting to know what people here think about seeing the back three. It has been another clean sheet today. Obviously, he talks about this here quite interestingly, about the fact that we kept a clean sheet against Birmingham with a back four. But what happened when we switched to a back three? And then let's add to that what we think about this afternoon.
Yeah, so it's funny. I think that the most open we've been defensively is against Birmingham when we were in a back four. We changed to that. I've been much more happy with the shape of the team, how solid we've been. But ironically, you concede two in the next two games. Okay, yes. Against very strong opposition. But I think the four centre-halves that have played so far, and Schiralta, Pollock, Porteous and Hoop, have been top performers and all the time behind that. Dan's been rock solid. He won us the 3 points at Birmingham. He was good again against Leeds. And then the last two games have produced two exceptionally good goals. The first goal at West Brom was heavily deflected. So although we can always analyse how we stop these chances being created, I count ourselves that we're not going to come up against worldly strikes every game. But I'm really pleased with the back three and Dan's performances.
So here's the question for today. Did we stop Preston? Did we negate them and they negated us? Therefore, we didn't really create many opportunities. Was that a job done better in midfield? Tom Dalibashira did well today. But I think on the creative side, we didn't really see anything happen. We didn't see much movement when we had the ball and it was a bit frustrating. But hey, we can't ask for everything, I know. But that was, I think everybody's come away from there thinking it was a bit of a meh of a game and an involvement, and I don't think I'll be at all surprised if this is probably the shortest spaces. But hey ho, we will get there. Let's get to Mike Duffy of Voices of the Vic and see whether or not he managed to get down to the Vic today, or if he was watching it from a televisual perspective somewhere. Mike, sir, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. How are you?
Well, I'm slightly numb from watching Graf for 90 minutes, but maybe we can't have it all. How did you take today as a performance? Is it end of season stuff, or was it just actually with you one of those kind of Valball-like experiences after the honeymoon period?
I think I watched from the 30th minute today. I was menu tasting for the wedding today, so I wish that carried on a little bit longer, but to be honest.
Don't worry, we're going to investigate this, everybody. We all know where the interest lies today. Okay.
But yeah, look, I'm guessing I didn't miss much from the first half an hour, and I certainly didn't miss much for the rest of the game. And we had a lad called Jack on our podcast, Preston fan, to preview the game. And he said to us before the game, look, you boys will be on the beach, you'll have your flip-flops on and your sunglasses out. And like, they were looking at that as a game, right, with 7 points outside the playoffs, we've got a game in hand, let's try and do something. And to be honest, I think not only were both teams poor, I think we were let off a bit today, to be honest. I really expected, especially as the game went on and a longer 0-0 carried on, I really expected to Preston to just be like, fuck it, let's just go for it and bring some more attacking players on. So I was quite surprised. And I was also surprised that their Danish guy, Mads, I think his name is, he come off the bench, because, again, Jack, who I spoke to, was raving about him. And I listened to your Preston preview, and the guy that you had on was also raving about him. So I was quite surprised to see him not start, considering they'd want to bounce back from that Birmingham performance with a win. And yeah, I think one of my best mates in Birmingham's a Preston fan, and we were exchanging texts after the game, and he said he's disappointed that they didn't go for it at one stage, because, look, the way we were in the final third, I think even if they had gone for it and we'd have catched them on the counter, I don't know whether we would have put it away, because it's time and time again, the same story is that final third, we just crumble and we just don't look like we're going to put the ball in the back of the net. And I'm trying to rack my brain now. I think it probably speaks volumes here that the best chance I can remember us having, other than Lewis putting it miles over, you had that CRL to chance, which I don't even want to class it as a shot on target, because I think, if anything, it was just trying to head the ball down for someone to get a nick on. And in the end, it just ended up going through to the goalkeeper. So really disappointing. Sick of playing Preston now, because we drew 0-0 with them last year. And I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back for Slav. I think that was his last game. And I'm sure we'll be seeing them again next season. And hopefully it's not another boring 0-0, because, my words, we're absolutely pants against them at home. But look, from now on, I'm hoping for the rest of the season, let's get some kids in. Tom said that he wasn't just bringing in these academy players as token gestures. He's bringing them in because he thinks they can help us. And if that's the case, Tom, put your money where your mouth is. Let's see some of these young lads. Let's see Albert Eames, who is so highly spoken of by Tom, and I think the other one is the chap that was on the bench against
Messiah.
Yeah, against West Brom. So let's see them. So we're not going down. We're certainly not going up. Let's bleed the youngsters in.
No, I agree. And the likes of Jack Greaves, and I know Toby Adeyemo's gone off to Wheelstone on loan to get some games. But yeah, it wouldn't hurt to see some. I think if we're all guilty of saying things like, I would have taken that before the game. I think if we go back prior to the Birmingham game and we were all saying, well, where's the points coming from? And we've got that. So there are some positives, but I think it's also only balance the fact that what we heard there from Tom earlier on, saying, well, we want to build that, we want to extend onto that. There are certain things that have seemingly worked. The three at the back, you can argue whether or not it worked particularly well, or if it was down to individuals against West Brom, obviously, and for the other two all against Leeds. But it's given us a platform to go forward, but we didn't really move forward. It was just one of those, wasn't it? I think you're right. I thought both sides potentially today were on the beach. I was equally surprised that Frosjo Jensen wasn't playing, because he has been their creative number 10. He's been the creator of more assists than anybody else. So to drop him, I don't know if they just paid us a little bit too much respect in there. The final thing for me is we had a chat. We did our our preview for Ipswich, and we were talking to those guys last night, and it'll be coming out after this, because I imagine this isn't going to go on that long, because there wasn't that much to discuss about it. But it was, both sides were talking about the ability to make changes, and we've talked about this, and I see Ron's there, I'll come to you in a minute, Ron. We've talked about the paucity within the squad. There's only so many players he can bring on to make a positive impact on that game. And again, we saw it. I didn't think personally that the Bio or Dennis did as well as they had done up at the Hawthorns, but who knows? Maybe they're playing too many minutes to react to it. I don't know. Other people will say they're professional footballers and they're playing every 4 or 5 days. Get on with it. I can quite sympathise with both ends. What did you make of Rajovic when he came on? Because you would have seen that last half an hour.
Yeah.
What did you make of him? Because I think in the last couple of games, he's shown a little bit more. Obviously, he got the goal at the Hawthorns. What did you make of his contribution today?
Do you know what, Roy? Clev said in the week after the West Brom game that you have to drag him off the training pitch, and he's always out there and he's really trying his hardest. And look, yes, he's not very good, but one thing which we've certainly asked for in the last couple of years is that we see this Watford team give 100%. And if we're hearing that players are staying later or staying longer on the training pitch and trying to improve, he knows that he's perhaps come in and not being as physical and as good as we would have thought or have hoped, even though he's got 11 goals. The fact that he's, right, okay, that's fine, I'm going to go away and work on it. And you know what? I think today, albeit he didn't touch the ball a great deal at times, I think his link-up play was certainly better today. There was a couple of times where he came deep and won the ball and held it up and played other players in. There was obviously that cheeky little back heel, which almost resulted in a goal where he kept it in, and then we played down the right through a sprayer, and a sprayer just overhit it. So I think gradually he's only going to get better by playing games. Like, everyone knows this, and we're seeing it with Ryan Andrews. The consistency might not be there, but the only way you're going to learn at this level is if you play a load of games. And unfortunately for Rajovic, he obviously went through a spell where he would start a load of games, and then he would be a sub, and whether we'll see him start a load of games towards the end of the season, we don't know. But look, he's clearly trying to work on the things that he doesn't do well. And the last couple of games, like you say, he's got a goal. I was delighted for him to get a goal. And let's not forget, as rubbish as people have said he's been, and as disappointing as his performances have been so far this season, he's still got us 11 goals. I think 10 in the league. One of them was in the cup against Chesterfield. But that's not a bad return for someone that was playing quite low down only a matter of years ago. So if we can keep him and build to his strengths, I don't agree with what Troy was saying on your part in respect of bulk him up, because he's not the fastest as it is. So I think if you bulk him up, you're only going to hinder him. But I think the more we keep hold of him and the more game time he gets, as obvious as it sounds, he's only going to get better. And like I say, the return of 11 goals this season, it'll do me, and hopefully he'll only go on from strength to strength.
Very good, very good. Now, the question everybody is asking is now, I've always looked at this because myself and my wife, we were engaged for 14 years and then we eloped to Gretna Green. That's the way to do it, people. I'm just saying, stress-free, excellent it was. But now, tasting this kind of sorting out the food, is this as an excuse to have like 4 sit-down meals in 1 hour long period, Mike? In which case, respect all the way, obviously. But what kind of thing do you think you're going for? And is there any clash between yourself and your betrothed as to what you might go for in the food department for the big day?
No, to be fair, I don't know how it's usually done, because obviously I've never done this before, but we choose 2 items that are on their menu, and then I think there's like a vegetarian option. And yeah, we both chose what we thought we'd like, and I think the only thing we're going to change is one of the starters. So a really successful day and lots of food taken on board, and probably a bit too much for me because I'm running a 10K next week, so I'm trying to watch what I'm eating at the moment. But I'm glad it was this weekend and not next weekend. But yeah, very, very good. And to be fair, for the price that we're having to pay, I should bloody hope it's as good as it was. But exactly. No, it was very good. So I can't have any complaints, to be honest. And thankfully, the big day doesn't clash with any football, or we hope, because it's on a Friday night in October. So unless Sky wants to be
Absolutely. Bugger about, you know that.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, yeah, we'll see.
This is very good news. Everybody, if you don't remember, Mike is doing lots of runs. He did a great run for charity. And, of course, he's also running so that we don't have to, which is a very important thing. Mike, sir, good luck with the run. Voices of Thank the Vic, you. Are you going to be coming in and picking over the bones of that tomorrow or Monday?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be tomorrow or Monday, and then we might squeeze in a preview for Ipswich. So hopefully lots of content to come over the next couple of weeks, fingers crossed.
Lovely stuff. Very good, very good. Mike, sir, go off and just, you know, if she says, are you at the fridge again? Just go, nope, I'm just, this is just further research. That's all I'm doing. Don't worry, and I'm running in 15 kilometres next week. Lovely stuff. There we go. There's Mike from Voices of the Vic. Do listen out for it. Justin, sir, you are with us, and then I'm just about to go to Uncle Ron, then I'm coming to Kev, then I'm going to Wendover. Not literally going to, I'm going to Wendover. Justin, sir, what did you make of the excitement that we had this afternoon at the Vic?
There was excitement, Peter. There was excitement. And it was the steward chasing the balloon. My word, that man. Three or four times he grabbed it. Is he going to get it? Is he not going to get it? Is he allowed on the pitch? I don't know what's going on here. And he got it and he burst it. And it was absolutely fantastic. Also, the Mr. Q centre spot challenge. I thought that was particularly interesting today. The rest of it was absolutely dreadful.
It's all relative, mate.
Yeah. Do you remember at the end of the last season, we did a thing where we did keep or bin on the players? I'm very much looking forward to that this season because I'm not quite sure what we're going to make of some of those players. Jamal Lewis, goodness me. I know you said he had a good game last time at home, but he's a championship player, is he not? Is he not a championship player?
He is. He is signed and registered for a Premiership League side, one that I doubt he would be gracing if he performs like that. No, he was... The guys I sit next to were like, why does he always go back? Why does he always turn back? And then the ball came to him and he hit it and we went, yeah, okay, that's probably why he always turns back. Yeah, it was all just rather disappointing. It was all rather drab. Nothing. At some point we hoped a football match we were going to break out. It didn't. It's one of those. We've all been to dozens of these kind of games where it doesn't quite take hold, and that's how it felt. But yeah, there we go.
I think the good news for you though, Peter, is I think that this space will be a record one. I don't think it's going to be very long. I know you're going out this evening, so I don't think you've got to worry too much about running out of time and rushing about. I think you have plenty of time to get ready before you go out.
I'm sure that will be the case. And it was lovely to see so many people down in and outside the bunker again. It's such a lovely, vibrant atmosphere down there. And, of course, I also had my old mate Barry and my godson Brad back from Australia. And also we had Oz from New Zealand. Honestly, that's a very difficult combination of names and places to come from to cope with. What can you
Oz.
Do?
Oz has got a brilliant stay. He's away from New Zealand for 5 weeks, but he's spending two of those in Barbados, I think he said. He's going over to the Caribbean. And just, what, this is fantastic. And he chooses to spend an evening or an afternoon watching that rubbish.
To be quite frank, Oz has won at life, and he was just paying the premium this afternoon at Vicarage Road. That's my theory.
That's what I was trying to say, but not as well as you did, Peter. Well done.
No, it was lovely to see. We also saw Peter Hopwood down there from Croatia, and loads of people, all there lovely. We also saw Harvey, who came in on the Northwest Express, which is now presumably probably sitting stationary looking bewildered as to why they came down to watch this. But Harvey is a young lad, came down, he was all bit kitted out in Watford stuff, and unfortunately that was his first game. Don't worry, Harvey, sometimes it's not as exciting as all that, but next time I am sure. Let's wend our way, not to Wendover, but to Florida, and let's go and speak to Uncle Ron, who always comes on and lets us know what he's thinking. And I think he's going to be looking at this particular game and going, where was the fun today? Ron, come on, let us know what your thoughts are today.
Oh, Peter, excuse my voice. I have a sore throat. I was going to say,
it was bad, but I didn't realise it had affected you to that level. Have you been shouting at the television? Right.
But, Peter.
Let's keep it at a low timbre for your voice and let us know.
I feel I've been visited by the ghost of Perryman Pass. What's 30 years on? 30 years on.
Those three Perrys, aren't they? Perry Suckling, Perry Digweed, and Perry Man.
What a wretched football game.
It wasn't good.
The thing is, Peter, this is actually quite serious because...
Go on.
We haven't won a home game since November.
Yep.
That is as awful as it's ever been in the 100 years of this football club's history. This is what we are under Pozzo.
What do we think? Hold on a second. Didn't we lose 11 straight at home? I appreciate that was in the Premiership, so it's all relative, but was that better or worse? I can't remember.
No, that was awful. No one can dispute that. But in terms of the second division, this is as bad as it's ever been.
We are two bald men fighting over a comb with this argument. No, surely this is worse than that.
Yes.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, awful. But I don't... Alan, was it Alan last week who I've often disagreed with? I think he's blocked me on Twitter.
No,
it doesn't matter because he made a wonderful point last week that there was no urgency whatsoever to give the job to...
Yep.
To Tom Cleverley. I thought it was the best call last week. As much as he's said things against me, I won't dispute when someone makes a great point, which he did. And unfortunately, I think Tom Cleverley failed his audition today. Preston are not a great side. I know they're doing quite well this year, but they're not a great side. Cleverley could have gone 4-2-4. He could have done anything. He could have blooded some youth team players. He could have done something different. It's miserable. This was just the same old boring crap we've witnessed under Wilder, Bilic, Ishmael, whatever. So unless you're going to change something up, then there's no point putting Cleverley in charge. You've got to have someone with some refreshing ideas. It's not all on the manager. You've got a player like Jamal Lewis, who today looked like he didn't like playing football. And if he's going out with that attitude, haul him off. It doesn't matter who you put on. It doesn't matter. But he looked miserable out there. But there's got to be some desire to entertain the fans. You saw the empty seats today. This is what the future is. And you've got players like Sierra Alta, who I'll remind everyone, is contracted until 2027. There's no jeopardy for these players. So they can go on the beach. It doesn't matter. They've got contracts for the rest of their footballing careers in many cases. Backman, he had nothing to do today. I can't criticize him, but he's one of them. He's there until he's 34. And that's the ridiculous, wretched owner thinking that every single player has to have a long-term contract. It's insanity.
As a question and a subject that we've discussed, I think we've discussed skeleton squads, or was it thin squad? Was it today? He felt to me like he had, and the same thing at West Brom, as you quite rightly say, it's not on the manager, because in fairness, he's also got a clean sheet today, which, you know, we've all seen games like that which have been lost to breakaway goals or what have you, and we didn't see that today, which is something. But is it really? And you mentioned the fact that, for example, those people with long contracts, there's no jeopardy. Is it also the fact that with the small squad that we have, there's also very little realistic chance of those starters being dropped because there are so few viable alternatives fit in the squad? And bearing in mind, we have 22 senior players within this particular squad. You only need two or three injuries and we all know who's going to be there. One of the things that I think we saw Preston try to do, but I think we'll definitely see Ipswich, especially after their losing the East Anglia derby today, and we saw against Leeds as well, two or three additional players give you further options and allow you to actually game manage the game, but it also means that there's more competition for places. Have we lost that a little bit? Because I appreciate your thoughts on James Morris, who of course would be the natural replacement for Jamal Lewis, but if one is literally a kind of a shoe-in, then there's little competition, there's little to get them going, especially at this particular point. And I think in fairness to Tom, the previous three games, we'd seen a little bit more urgency, we'd seen a little less faffing about at the back. Today felt a little bit same old from Ishmael, a little bit more than we've seen from Tom. We lack the urgency getting it forward. But are we paying for the lack of competition, as well as your point about kind of long contracts and the lack of jeopardy that provides?
Yeah, that's a good point, Peter. But then you look at the squad and Ryan Andrews has had a big dip in form. But the person who's meant to challenge him, Ngakia, almost always injured. And we don't know. His contract was due to expire at the end of the season, right?
Yeah.
And there was a rumour, Adam Leventhal said he'd been given a four-year contract. I was told that wasn't the case, but the club have never made a statement as to whether he's been given a contract. I suspect, given this wretched football club, that they have given him a new contract. But that sort of it, the squad and the contracts ties together, really, because you can't have all these players, such as Ngakia, injured a lot. And even Ken Semmer is injured too much. You've got, if the players aren't available, get them out. Don't extend their contracts. It's very disturbing. The needs are, and really, this, as Elton John said back in 97, was it, when he came back. This club needs an enema, and it needs to start at the top. And then people have stopped talking about it, but it's going nowhere, this football club, going absolutely nowhere, and it's miserable. No one can say they enjoyed that today. And look at the empty seats. That's what's to come here. You've got to try and entertain your fans and win your home games. It's not expecting much. Be careful what you wish for. I didn't wish for this. Did anyone wish for this? This is as bad as it's ever been.
Well, it's four games unbeaten, and I appreciate that whenever we have a game that's a bit meh, you revert to the mean and take a look at that. But that's the only way in which we can judge Tom Cleverley's performance as a coach here. And I think, and apologies for repeating myself for previous weeks, but I think against Birmingham what he did was he cut out the mistakes. He didn't change the shape. He changed us to three at the back. He's accommodating, I think, some of the stronger players in the squad, but I think today we saw it not quite work, not quite fluid. The thing that really I thought was remarkable today was the lack of movement in forward positions when we had the ball at the back. That it felt very Ishmael-like, and we kept the ball and moved the ball about at the back again rather than moving it forward. Against Birmingham, against Leeds and against West Brom, we moved the ball forward that bit quicker. I'm not saying we were just hammering it, but we moved the ball quicker. The ball was in advanced positions, and then you would see the likes of Bio, you would see the likes of Dennis press the opposition. We didn't move the ball into that position, so they didn't get to press them in this particular, which was it'd be interesting to see how the reaction is. We've got Ipswich coming up. They are going to be a tiger baring their fangs after nobody likes to lose to their local rivals, and especially when that has cost them a place at the top of the table today. What do you think the outcome is going to be on Wednesday at Portman Road? Do you think we can keep the unbeaten run going? Is that viable, do you think, against a strong and thriving Ipswich side?
I think we'll probably lose. I don't think Ipswich's away is the game to throw all the youngsters in. It should have been today. He should have changed it up completely. There was absolutely nothing to lose for Cleverley today. At home to Preston, blood the youngsters today. He failed it. He didn't do it. He didn't change it. 4-2-4. Do something different. Do something to excite people. You've got to excite people, Peter. Well, it's supposed to be entertainment. It's not entertaining.
It's a game to excite the people. I'm fairly sure I remember one manager quite well known in these parts who used that phrase. There we go. There we go. Indeed. Uncle, go and nurse your weary throat.
Hello, my name's Chris Stark. I'm from Peter Crouch Podcast. And you are listening to the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes Podcast.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
That's fine. Let's get to Kevin Jackson, and then we're going to come to Wendover. Oh, hello, we've got the first spinning wheel of death, everybody. Elon, 50p in the meter, please. That's it. As I was just saying, it was lovely seeing everybody down, and it is great seeing everybody down the bunker. Now, whilst we're trying to get Kevin on here at the moment, okay, he's fade out, but let me just do this before I go to Greg Wendover-Horn. After the Sunderland game, the guys down at the 1881 in the bunker are planning on doing some stuff in basically combination with a few people. That looks like that's going to be going ahead. So do look out for on the 1881 movement, but also on our socials, we'll probably pop out what's going to be going on there. We will probably do, I don't know yet, we'll see, but we might even do the spaces from outside the bunker so people can come over and have a chat, but we can also chat to everybody else as well. Because the most important thing is, everybody talks about us as the original family club or the community club. That can come down to the club doing it, or it can come down to the community. And the 1881 and the guys down at the bunker and Roy and Bob and all of those good guys down there at the moment, it's absolutely thriving before a game. Do try and get down there. That's great. But after the Sunderland game, after they've done their lap of whatever it is the season is, see if you can't get back down there as well and see if we can't have some fun, because everybody's just friends we haven't met yet. Right, let's get across to Greg, who I imagine is probably... We had an uncomfortable conversation about his dogging activities and flashing lights in the West Harts car park. I'm sure he's doing no such thing today. Greg, I saw you. You were resplendent in black, looking like you were about to deliver milk tray in the advert today. And you were quite happy that you were going to go and basically choose your Indian meal if the game wasn't very good. I would suggest you probably had selected that Indian meal and probably ordered it by about 3:45.
Yeah, I was going to get onto that, Pete, actually.
You take us wherever you want to go with it. Don't let me...
Yeah, firstly, some advice for my friend Uncle Ron. Ooh. He should go and suck on a fisherman's friend.
That's not, don't go there, please. Innuendo bingo, everybody. What can we do? Hello, Christoph, by the way. Yeah. Come on, then. Let's go. Come on, what did you make of the game?
That, mate, I'm only really calling in to have a chat with you, Pete, because there's no football. Because there's no football to talk about, is there? It was as dull can be. It has to say that you don't have to be very good to be playoffs, because I thought they were shocking. We weren't much, well, we weren't any better, but it was... Did either goalkeepers make a save?
We had two shots on goal. They had one shot. Yeah. When they came in, I don't know. The statisticians amongst us may be able to remember, but no, there was also that one that fell down to their guy and he basically hit the corner flag when seemingly pretty well positioned. I was quite shocked that he didn't work the keeper, but hey-ho, it comes to us all, or it doesn't in this
Hey-ho
situation.
Used to play for us, Pete.
But,
hey-ho used to...
There you go.
Hey-ho used to play for us, mate.
I tell you what, there are not enough Alex Hey-ho jokes in the world, and I'm glad to see that you took the chance to seize upon it. Well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah. Just a shite game of football. Tom Denny Bashir, probably the best player on the pitch, maybe. I thought he was very good. And that's about it, really. Yeah, I like Reggie's little back heel. What else did I like? That's pretty about it, really. Yeah. It's pretty much a non-event. And not too critical for Cleves. You're saying change it. He has changed it. He's gone to three at the back, and he has changed it. And it was just one of them, wasn't it? It was just, I thought they would want to win it more than they seemed to. Even at the end, deep into stoppage time, the ball's in the keeper's hands, and he doesn't want to launch it. They're quite happy with their point, which I found a bit odd, really. Other than that, let's get on to the curry.
Very good. Come on, then. What are you vying for?
We've
already done a little bit of food today, but let's face it, Mike held what dishes he was going for up his sleeve, wasn't sharing with us, did tell us that there was a vegan option. I don't think that's going to be a problem you're troubled with, so come on then, what are you going for?
Yeah, well, I did have a glance for that menu I had with me during the second half because I was bored. I'm going to go back to our trusted faithful that's on my way home, and I'm going to have a chicken tikka dak with keema rice. That's what I'm going to have.
A chicken tikka danse. That sounds like one of these kind of Western hybrid kind of things. The longer the description of it. I think you either go for a dansak or you go for a chicken tikka. I'm not sure I like that.
Yeah.
I may be disapproving of this, but hey, you enjoy it. You report back to us.
Yeah.
Question,
I will report back.
The important question was, and I did get to speak to Nelly, everybody, day in the bunker with Oz from New Zealand. It's all very complicated. And we did quiz him upon his chicken tikka that he was scurrying south to do last week. And also, he was giving us tips on spinach. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
No, it was all about removing the moisture and then the garlic and the ginger. It was all very good. I like that very much. What side orders are you having with this said chicken tikka masala?
I'll probably go for a peshwari naan bread and some onion bhaji.
I'm sorry. Peshwari naan. No, it's bread mixed with soap. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You mentioned spinach. I tell you how I like spinach.
We're not saying the game wasn't good today, but we're currently talking...
I like some wilted, a big bowl of wilted spinach when I'm feeling healthy, and a couple of poached eggs on top.
Nice.
With a lot of black, grounded black pepper.
Well, of course.
That's very nice if you want to be healthy.
That's the basis of eggs Florentine, is it not? This is very good. God.
Yeah.
How
nice.
How bad did today's game get for me to be encouraged going, oh, eggs Florentine? Lovely. Oh, dear. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got to look forward to the next 7 days. We have had, as we know, a problematic home record. Played Tom talking about it earlier on. We've now got two away games. We've got away at Southampton and we've got before that in midweek away at Ipswich. Are you happier that we are away from home, and does our team perform better? Is there a weight of expectation at home? Why is it that we're not getting there?
Yeah, I think we are probably. I've been to a lot of away games, and I think we probably are better away from home. Maybe it is a bit down to the expectation level. However, these two home away games we've got coming up aren't particularly easy ones. I'm not going to Ipswich. I try not to go away on a school night these days, but I'll try and watch it by some means. I am going to Southampton. I don't think we'll see a lot of the ball at Southampton because Russ, that chap that you love so much, Russell Martin. They do like to keep the ball, don't they? And yeah, who knows? It doesn't really matter, does it? Maybe it's a good time to play Ipswich. Maybe they're seeing that finishing line there and they're getting the jitters. Maybe not. Yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? I think we are better away from home. Do I think we're going to get many points out of the next two games? Probably not.
No, don't like Russell Martin. Basically, let's face it, he's what's the phrase I'm looking for? Tanning lotion, beard, mannequin, and an ego. And that's it, really. You mix it all together and you got him.
It reminds me of Ryland Clark. I can't stand him either. A man with absolutely no talent whatsoever, but seems to get on every TV programme and advert going. He must have a bloody good agent because the chap is talentless. But there you go, yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm sure. Wasn't he on X Factor or one of these things?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I think I've heard a lot worse than him in doing what he does. He seems fairly affable. I'll go with that. My only thing that I really hold against him is, of course, the fact that he could come out on Stars in Their Eyes and say, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Russell Martin. I don't think he needs He needs no more weight in life or no more albatross around his neck more than that. That'll do us. Greg, sir, exactly. Go back and enjoy your wonderful Indian food, and we look forward to hearing all about this because I do want to know whether or not a tikka adds to a dansak. Big fan of a dansak, me, clearly. Anybody who's seen me knows that's the case, but never mind. Now, I'm not sure he could have got as close to Daventry as I would have imagined, but if we go to Alan Lathwell to see exactly how far up the M1 he is, I'm going to say you're probably no further north than Northampton, I would suggest, Mr. Alan Lathwell. Whereabouts are you? Hit your mic button and let us know.
I think, I'm not really sure, because I've been watching this twat in a Renault Laguna drive like an absolute village for the last fucking 5 minutes. But think, I'm nowhere near Daventry, I know that much. I think I'm about Junction 12 or something like that. I'm not as far north as normal.
Well, never mind. Well, let's be honest. Normally, I look at people when they're leaving about the 85th minute and go, what are you doing? Why do you turn up? Do you come in and watch a film and go just before the end? No. Today, I have to say, I had sympathy with them. It didn't feel like anybody was going to do anything, let alone score in a month of Sundays. How did it look from the posh seats where you are?
Posh seats? Me? Rookery end? They're not all really disappointed. We had a very deep and meaningful conversation before the game about that takeaway menu that he was clutching, which I had a great perusal of. And he's done a quick Chris Wilder. He talked a great game about going for one of the new options on the menu. I'm definitely going to try one of the new options that's on the menu. Really up for one of those. He pointed them out to me. The chicken achari looks absolutely fantastic. Would have been my choice. What's he done? Yeah. He's fucking gone and ahead and gone with the same old. Put your money where your mouth is, Greg. Fuck the Danzak off and have one of the new ones on the menu.
I never thought we'd make some kind of segue between, or some kind of metaphor between Uncle Ron saying, no, Tom Cleverley should have tried something new, and then you proclaiming, basically we're putting Wendover and Tom Cleverley in the same boat for no apparent reason. One food-wise formation.
Honestly, man, well, not even Tom Cleverley. It was more Chris Wilder, because he always used to go on about bleeding the youngsters and never did. But fantastic looking menu, great options, and he's just gone for the. It's the George Graham of curries. That's what he's gone for. Honestly, really, I'm bitterly disappointed in him. And he's having a Peshwari naan from a takeaway that can't fucking spell Peshwari.
That's true. they spelt it with a Y. Alan and I perused the menu. We did make the comment. I did obviously grumble, it's a Peshwari naan. After all, that's what I do. But yeah, no, Peshwari with a Y at the end. I'm sure that's not a correct spelling in any variety.
It's wrong on so many levels. I'm sure he played left midfield for Ajax. But anyway, I could be wrong. No, in all seriousness, there's not a lot to talk about from today's game, to be brutally honest. The onus is on us as the home side to actually try and create something to break these sides down. And we didn't do a lot. There was no tempo in our display throughout the 90 plus minutes. It is what it is. I'm with Greg on one point that he did say, although I was still absolutely stewing over his choice of curry at the time. I didn't understand the tactics from Preston, who seemed absolutely, they celebrated that point at the end like they'd won the league, all stood there in front of their way supporters with their bowler hats on or whatever they were wearing, absolutely chuffed. Maybe they might even have a bus parade through Preston tomorrow with their point on an open top bus. I don't know, but we didn't show a great deal. And just to pick up on a point that I made last week that Ron picked up on earlier.
He called it the best call of the week last week. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. But anyway, thanks all the same, Ron. But As quick as I was to say last week, I don't think we should rush into a decision on his future, assuming he wants the role. I'm equally not going to condemn him after one poor performance. Quite because right. I have to disagree. We were poor today, and it was reincarnation of Val Ball. But on three or four games, whatever it is now that Tom's had, he has tried to play enterprising football. And we only have to look at our last home game against Leeds as great evidence.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget. Snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Of that, I'm just disappointed we couldn't continue that little bit of momentum we kind of found in terms of our display if we hadn't necessarily got any rhythm in terms of results as such at the minute. It was a bit of a shame today. I thought we really didn't offer a lot. And like others have said, probably the standout for me was probably TDB in terms of the performance, to be fair.
No, I think so. I do wonder from the Preston angle, and I'm not here to be an apologist for how they set up because I thought they were as effective or ineffective as we were today. But the thing that might get into the psyche was we went there, had an okay half and were 1-1 up there. And then we came out and absolutely gubbed them in the second half and made it 5-1. Mm. And I'm wondering whether or not psychologically in the preparation for today, they've come out and gone and thus shown us in many ways too much respect in some ways. And therefore gone, well, we'll take a point. It's on the road and we'll do that. And they've done that to us and stopped us playing. And it's been two teams who've basically just cancelled each other out. But I agree with you. I think there are things to take from today in terms of a clean sheet, a fourth game unbeaten on what's going into, as Greg said, a very tricky couple of away games against opponents who are riding high, both in the performance charts, but also in the league table overall. So maybe, as with all of this, as we said beforehand, and as you said last week, let's judge him at the end of the season and see how everything has gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, let's see what we can do at Ipswich. They're the ones that are under pressure. They're the ones that are at home and need the points. And I don't think we should necessarily go there and be concerned about them. And as has been said, we do seem to prefer playing away from home this season. Well, certainly the results and points we've gathered for this season suggest that anyway. So let's see what... I'm not suggesting we go all gung-ho, but I don't necessarily think we've got a reason to go there and worry. There's nothing to worry about. We're not going up, we're not going down. And let's see what we can achieve there at midweek, to be fair.
Very good. Let's just go there. Let's just go there, give them a game and see what comes about. Absolutely. Well, I've just gone in and actually released now the Ipswich away. Thank you, Alan. Lovely to hear from you and see you today. It was lovely to see everybody down the bunker because, as I said earlier on, and I appreciate I sound like a stuck record, it's nice to have the community being in charge of the community feel at the club, and it was really nice. Obviously, it was quite, it wasn't necessarily very sunny, but it was nice and dry, and it was, it's just lovely seeing everybody down there. We're all just friends who haven't met yet.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.